Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Kirk Cousins.
John, can I... John.
Dave.
Yes, it is me.
It's me.
Sorry, I'm so excited. I just want to tell you this. Okay. I recently tried to organize my life and bought one of those fancy planners.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
I know.
Turns out it's just a very expensive doodle book with dates. That's just me being honest.
Doodle away, my friend.
Okay.
Doodle away. But can I tell you what the first thing you need to put in your daily schedule is?
Yeah.
The one and only Athletic Greens.
Oh, okay. I hear that. But can I still draw Airplanes and Dragons or practice my autograph?
Yeah, totally.
Or
totally.
All three of them?
But you have a 75% chance of being a better artist if you take AG1 from Athletic Greens.
Okay.
And that's a completely vetted statistic.
Okay, great. Okay. I'm glad to know that. Can I tell you a couple things that I love about them?
Please.
Let's just throw some things out that we love about them. I'm riffing right now.
Okay.
It's one scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. That's one of my favorite things.
Oh, I love that.
You go.
Did you know that AG1 gives you increased energy and mood support, making it easier to live your life?
What?
Right? Your best life, actually.
Here's a fun fact about me, too,
John. Go ahead.
I also get the single-serving travel pack, so I never have to miss a day, okay? I just mix with powder and ice-cold water and drink it first thing every morning.
Well, because every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits, like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and healthier-looking skin, hair, and nails.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Just one more thing.
Okay.
If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
Like free? Like you said, free?
The one and only. Just head to athleticgreens.com/dadville.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. athleticgreens.com/dadville. And remember, it will make you be better at art.
For real.
I promise.
Dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Don't mention it, man. Happy to do it. Honored to be talking to two guys I've been listening to since high school.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's kind. It's nice to meet you, man. So do you guys know each other?
No. This is it. This is the beginning. This is where...
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
So are you just like back from practice right now? Or you just were you benching in the other room?
We had football this morning. I'm running some errands and now we're back for the day. We're good. And I'm up in Minnesota. My family's back in Atlanta. My wife's from Atlanta, so she's down there with my boys right now. So it's a quiet house. We got a good time to record.
Wow.
How long are they down there? Or is this like how it goes for the off season or whatever?
We like live out of a suitcase all the time because we're in Minnesota for football. But when we have downtime, we go to Michigan, where I grew up, Atlanta, where she grew up. And then my whole family has since moved to Orlando. So my siblings live there with their spouses and my parents live there. My dad's a pastor at church there. So we go to Orlando and obviously there's a lot of stuff for kids to do there. So we're kind of all over. And someday when I retire, it'll slow down.
Good. So when do they come up to Minnesota? Do they come up much or how does that work?
Yeah, so they come up once training camp starts in August. They'll be up there with me the whole football season, and we do life up here. But still, when the season's over, January, February, we're out, and we don't want to be in Minnesota in February.
Oh,
so
gosh.
We're going to go somewhere.
No one does.
So,
where's the place where, your shoulders drop and you're like, all right, this is home? Is it Michigan?
West Michigan is probably my happy place. And then for my wife, that's Atlanta. And we'll see when I'm done playing what happens.
You know what I love? I'm actually a little tickled. I'm gonna have to admit. I love that, that you shot your shot with Minnesota, and then you're like, but you know what? I'm really happy with this Michigan, which to me, as a Southern guy, is like, that's like so analogous.
Like, that's the same
thing. It's still cold. Like, that's all that I think about. It's like, you haven't escaped, 6 degrees less cold? You know, you're like, but those Minnesotans, man, they're crazy. Oh, where it's warm and toasty in Michigan, though, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I was ready for you to say, you know, Hawaii feels right. Be like, let me tell you, just Michigan is where it is all.
Just the warm breeze of 19 degree Michigan.
Coming off the lake. Just so nice and cool. Listeners, y'all are like, Dave, would you just get to it? Because they are excited.
People need to get to it because this brag sheet is substantial.
It is going
to
take half of this interview.
Any questions,
I'm not kidding.
Go.
This is insanity. Okay. So, Kurt, well, let me tell the listeners, if you don't know already and you can't read the intros, we are with none other than Mr. Kirk Cousins. And this brag sheet, as you can imagine, it is substantial. So we start all of our dadvilles with a little bit of, like, you know, just all the things you've done in the world. And I'm going to try to – I'm actually editing as I read this because there's just so many things. I mean, this is unbelievable. Michigan State grad, which I just – we got to start with a shout-out to kinesiology as a major. I mean, that is – aren't you ambitious? I'm amazed when people even go to class as athletes, much less like major in kinesiology. Okay, Michigan State was led to the Big Ten championship by Mr. Kirk Cousins in 2010. Mm-hmm. Had a 4-0 record against Michigan, which I knew we had to put that in there.
Wow.
Won the 2011 Lowe's Senior Class Award, second team All Big Ten in 2011, drafted by the Redskins, fourth round in 2012. Has the eighth highest regular season career passing rating of all time. That is insanity.
That's insane.
I was shooting for 10 when I was younger, but 8th is great too. Four-time pro bowler, led the league in completion percentage in 2015. I love this fact. These are the things that I think are so fun. Led the Redskins to their largest comeback victory in franchise history in October of 2015 against the Bucks. This was the You Like That game, which everybody, listen, you know, they love you for that. They love you for that. In 2015, the first Redskins quarterback since 1950 to put up a perfect passer rating. I mean, I have to move because there's too many. Won the Bart Starr Award in 2023. Signed with the Vikings in 2018. Big part there. 2022 completed, I mean, you love these, the largest comeback in NFL history by beating the Colts 39-36 in overtime.
That one hurts. Please don't read that.
John is a Colts fan, so he's smart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you will. I mean, it's two records tied for most game winning drives in a single season with 8, tied for most fourth quarter comebacks in a single season with 8. You have all these franchise records with the Vikings. You have all these it's literally too much to read.
We're only halfway done with this list.
I mean, and we're not even getting to your art class in fifth grade where you drew
right.
what was called the right. most exquisite drawing that your teacher had ever
yeah,
seen,
right.
and she cried seeing the completion of it.
It was the greatest art comeback of all time.
Yeah, right.
It started so bad. She was like, what are you drawing, Kirk? And you're like, just...
That's the problem with comebacks is in order to have a great comeback, you have to start way back.
So what do you think when you hear all that being read? What's going through your mind when you're hearing all this stuff?
Well, the first thing I thought was you two are making it sound maybe a lot more accomplished than it probably really is. If I ever apply for another job someday, I could have you two come in and read my resume to somebody.
So, Mr. Cousins, here at Home Depot, we don't usually have this long of a resume. We'll read it. And, I mean, this is really
– Yes. Yes. No, it's great. It's honestly, I just am reminded of God's faithfulness because, you know, in high school, college, if you had read that to me, I'd say, yeah, that's a dream. I don't think it's ever really going to happen.
Wow.
And so when you read it back to me, it'll just always be a reminder of, you know, what you thought maybe wasn't possible. And I don't know that I know there's God's faithfulness and blessing and provision. And sometimes you got to remind yourself of that as you look forward to the next challenge, because the next challenge is always coming, and you got to look back first to remember that he's faithful as you look forward.
Well, that's, you know, that's one of the things that I think is so particularly interesting about professional athletes is, you know, one of the reasons you're so good at what you're good at and that the industry is that it is that it sort of demands greatness all the time. Like, you can't have off days. That's when, you know, and so I think to your point, I wanted to ask, like, how can you, especially as someone who is a man of faith, who's trying to think of Thanksgiving and God's blessing and God loves me no matter what, how do you balance that with knowing, like, you know, you're trying to win games, you're trying to, like, do the best you can, at the same time knowing, like, no matter what happens, I'm still loved, like, my soul
is you're in a world where it's like objective, your value in that world is objective,
like, how do you balance that?
Yeah No, you articulated it well. I mean, I think it's every athlete's challenge, and we all struggle with it, no matter how much we may tell you, we know what to believe, that our worth as a person is tied to our performance. And it's very difficult to separate those two, that even if I go out and throw five interceptions and we don't come back, that doesn't change the fact that I'm still a human being who's loved and valued, and doesn't change my identity. And I think we all as players struggle with that, but you know, when you have an anchor, when you have a faith, it can help with that. And then when you retire, because every athlete, you know, it's going to end at some point, you're kind of forced to reconcile with who am I, and you know, football I thought was who I was, but now it's over, so what do I do with that? And so that rude awakening can be softened a little bit if we can get to the bottom of that identity thing before the retirement actually happens.
It would be so tough for your identity to not be what you're doing. You know, that's tough for everybody, but like with professional athletes, it's like you can't, like Dave was saying, you can't let up off the gas for a second. I mean, the competition is insane. And so you're like, you know, for however many years, football is your life. You gotta dedicate your whole life to it, while at the same time reminding yourself like it's not your identity. And then all of a sudden, probably statistically, you're going to retire before you want to retire. I mean, most players do.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's just like, all right, now you're out in the world and football, you know, is
yesterday. I think it's important that whatever we do, that we do it with all of our heart, with intensity, with passion. We give everything we have to it, but also understand who are we doing it for? What's the end game that we're trying to get out of this? And I think if you do it for the wrong reasons, that's where the rude awakening. If you give everything you have, don't back off for a second. That's what I'll tell my boys, you know, as I get them into different activities and sports and find what they're passionate about. It'll be, hey, I want to see everything you have here. You don't back off for a second. But at the same time, understand why you're giving your all and who you're giving, and make sure you get those priorities.
I'm just curious, as you were talking about that, like, is it the type of thing, are you the type of person where, because of what you do, it requires so much of you and so much intensity, do you have that same intensity in every area of your life? Or is it the opposite, where you balance it, you know, where your intensity is with football and then everything else you're really laissez-faire with?
I'm smiling because my wife would laugh at that question, because she'd tell you.
She'd probably have a more accurate answer.
I would love to tell you that, oh yeah, I have an off switch and all that, but I don't. I only know one. And, I think when I do retire, if I try to go sit on a beach somewhere, I'm going to be sitting on the beach just constantly thinking about what to do, and thinking about, you know, how much the beach costs and how we could turn the beach into a business. And your mind, I just, the way I'm wired, the way God wired me, and I think it's a good and a bad. You know, sometimes your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness. And so for me, I have to have this governor where I say, okay, part of what's enabled me to get to where I am on the football field and have a brag sheet, if at all, is because of that take the hill mentality. But then on the, you know, that can get you in trouble if you're not careful. And I think that's where God blessed me with a great wife who's not wired that way quite as much. And she can be the brake to my gas a little bit and just kind of help, you know, keep it in moderation.
So are the cousins like corporately, you know, as your family, were y'all athletes growing up? Was that kind of a thing for you?
Yeah. Sports were a big part of my upbringing, more so probably than I'll have for my.
Wow.
You know, I was the guy, travel baseball all summer, football in the fall, basketball all winter, baseball in the springs, played three sports in high school. So we were always active and playing sports. But I say that as I look at back at it and look at my boys, I'm thinking, I don't know that I want my summers as a family dominated by travel baseball. So I think I'm going to try to back off, and we'll see what my boys want to get into. They're only 5.5 and 4, so we're still pretty sports was a big part of my upbringing, to answer your question.
So how do you feel about football with your boys? I've got two girls, and my thing is music. I'm like, I'm handling it in the sort of the opposite way of my upbringing, because I feel like I started playing way too young, and it was a miracle that my parents were able to keep me in music, because I wanted to quit the whole time. And so
really,
I'm like, I don't want my girl, they haven't taken any lessons yet. But I
when
think about it every day.
When they do take lessons, will you be the one giving them the piano lessons?
No. No. That's not going to happen. Yeah. It's
so here's my theory on piano lessons, because my parents also had me in piano lessons for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And I never I never practiced. So I would go there once a week to the lady's house, sit down, and look at her and be like, I didn't practice. I didn't get any better. So hopefully in the next half hour, we can learn some chords and some scales and some things. And I'll come back in a week and probably have not practiced again.
Yeah.
After 3 years, I didn't get any better. So we stopped. But I do believe, because every year around Christmas, when we would play like Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night, and I knew the melody, I was motivated to learn the song.
Hmm.
And so, but the rest of the year, the other 11 months of the year, the teacher would pick the music. Mm. And so for me, when I have my boys in piano lessons, which I'd like to think I'll have them in piano lessons someday, I'm going to tell them or tell the piano teacher, my kids get to pick the music.
Yeah.
And if they pick the music, they'll be more passionate about learning it. So that was something I wish
think
I had
smart.
Learned. And I don't know if you
I
have
think
any
that's great.
On that.
Yeah, yeah. Because whatever, because otherwise there's no – you can't see like the point of why you're doing this. Like, why am I learning
that's
this?
I mean, it's embarrassing to say. I've never thought about that. Like, how much more motivating
I remember
it would
the
be.
Soundtrack to Titanic came out, and My Heart Will Go On was the big song.
Uh-huh.
And my brother and I, we just never got better piano. But my brother learned the whole piano part to My Heart Will Go On because he knew what it should sound like and was motivated
like,
to learn it.
He's like, this is an instant girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yes,
if you know how to
yes,
play the song, it's just...
But like, if you learn how to play concerto in D, that may or may not help.
It can. Yeah, John can speak to that.
It's regional.
It's listen, if you're in Germany or, you know, Vienna, it is going to kill. I mean, they will just people come out of the woodwork.
But do you feel that way with your boys about football?
Yeah.
Are you like, this is this thing that is such a huge part of your life. Do you want that for them or no?
Well, similar to the way you're talking, I wonder sometimes if you've sort of been able to live multiple lifetimes for a musician and what it means to do that. You don't really feel this need for your kids to also do it. I'm in that same place where it's like, I've probably played enough football for three lifetimes, so I don't really need to see football in my kids. Now, that being said, if they love the game, I absolutely will allow them to play, encourage them to play, help coach their teams. I do think that flag football is the way to go. I played 2 years of flag football before starting tackle, which I started at 12 years old.
Wow.
If I could do it over again, I would have played flag all the way until freshman or sophomore year of high school.
Wow.
So with my boys, I'll probably look for those flag opportunities as early as possible and then play flag as long as possible, and then probably around high school say, okay, if you want to put the pads on, it's time to do that. But I do think that flag football is where it's going.
You know what I love, that I think about this all the time with my friends who are in professional sports. I'm like, I can't think of a more powerful moment as a dad than like you roll up. In fact, I saw Eric Decker, you know, who lives here in Nashville, and it was the sweetest thing. He was holding the down stick or whatever, you know, as they move along down the, and I just thought, how sweet, he's just here and he's not helping coach, he's just smiling, he was having the greatest time. But I was like, no one argues with him when he walks up and he's like, hey, I have a thought. Nobody's like, no, shut up, everybody shut up, Ted, especially you,
exactly.
You played 2 weeks in JUCO football, don't bring it up. Okay, Eric.
Well, that was my story, because my flag football team, we grew up in the Chicago suburbs, so a lot of the Chicago Bears retired players lived in our community, and their kids were around my age. So Mike Singletary was my flag football coach.
Oh my gosh.
And it was exactly what you're describing. When Mike spoke, we and the parents all just shut up and said, yes, sir. And needless to say, we had a pretty good flag football defense when Mike Singletary was the coach.
Also just knowing you're turning and looking, and he's like looking at you angrily, and you're like, oh my gosh, he is going to eat me alive.
Yes,
I have to run
exactly.
This play. So one of the things that I'm so fascinated, which I think is so amazing about who you are, Kirk, is how much it seems like you're so comfortable with who you are. You're comfortable in your skin. One of the things I think about this so much with professional athletes, and especially with the NFL, you know, how do you navigate the culture of a sport that is that big, that is that has so much cultural impact, has so many personalities, and stay yourself and also contribute in the ways you have? And like, because me just thinking about it intimidates the crud out of me. Now, I grew up playing sports, but very recreationally. But I mean, how do you navigate that space as someone who's kind of like, hey, this is kind of who I am, and good and bad, and strengths and weaknesses, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. How do you do that?
First of all, my family reminds me a lot that I'm not that cool.
That's a good
so
thing.
That it starts there. I think also, man, football's hard, and yeah, there is a lot of failure. And if you go 10-7, that's a really good year. And so I think this game just kind of keeps you humble, wow, and tests you in such a way that you never really feel like you've arrived or figured it out or have the answers. Mm-hmm. And then in some ways I probably did need to change, and my wife was able to improve, because I, like when we were dating, I was the guy wearing like socks and sandals and cargo shorts when cargo shorts were not cool, and like t-shirts that were way too big, yeah, and jeans that were way too baggy, yeah, and I never put product in my hair, and my wife would be like, Kirk, it's so bad. Like, I don't even know where to begin. And
which is funny, because that's Post Malone's outfit today, but go ahead.
I know.
Right. Well, know. It says a little something about fashion.
Held on.
Target. It's a moving target. I'm way ahead of my time. But my wife has kind of, through the years, kind of coached me such that it's like, you know what? If I hadn't have changed, I'd probably be way worse off. So there's some things where it's like, yeah, you need to be willing to change a little bit, and maybe the jeans need to be a little skinnier.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The shirts, sure, can fit a little tighter, and the hair needs to have a little bit of product in it. So when I look back at some photos of me in college when I was a single guy, it's, yeah, kind of cringe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know that.
Is the culture of the NFL when you came into it, do you feel like it has changed a lot during your tenure?
That's a great question. I'm a millennial, so coming in as a millennial, you kind of have your way of doing life, and now I'm, you know, the Gen Z guys are coming in as the rookies, and it's a very different way of doing, wow, life. So for me, it was Twitter and Instagram, and now it's TikTok and,
yeah, yeah,
you know, uh-huh, whatever else. So there's always, you know, iterations, and it's evolving. The haircuts too. Like, guy had a haircut the other day. I said, what's that haircut? It looks like a stegosaurus on your head. And he said, this is called the South of France. And I said, that's the haircut is called the South of France. He said, yeah, I Googled it. Sure enough, that's the exact haircut he had. So, but again, all the, wow, other Gen Zers are like, yeah, that's, bro, the name of the haircut. How do you not know that? So
right,
next time I go to Great Clips, I might have to ask, like, for the South of France.
<it's> Becky. Okay,
Becky,
let's just go.
At Great Clips definitely knows.
Becky is going to crush South of France. South of France.
So, and what's your relationship with that in terms of, we mentioned it earlier, but like criticism, you know, with fans mid-season, yeah, or off-season or whatever, like do you dip your toe in that, or do you just like totally not read any headlines or any, yeah, tweets or anything like that?
First of all, much of the time the criticism probably has some merit. Hmm. So like, I don't love saying, oh, I totally ignored it, it's all bogus. It's like, well,
wow,
I probably do need to be a little better if they're always criticizing me. I could probably be coachable and learn from it. But I love the quote by Margaret Thatcher where she said, when she was asked about these critics that she always has, she said, look, if my critics saw me walking on water, they would come up with some answer like saying that, oh, it's just because she can't swim. And so I realized, look, I think the, that's, you know, great, the younger generation just likes to say haters gonna hate. And
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
that's kind of the same thing. It's like, look, you're always gonna have critics, and probably the more your brag sheet gets longer, the more, yeah, critics, yeah, are gonna be there. So and looking for all the times you walk on water to say you can't swim. So you try to, on one hand, be coachable, learn from it, get better. On the other hand, it's, let's understand that critics aren't going away, and I'm not going to get caught up both in criticism or praise, really, and just try to not take the bait of getting caught up in either one.
Dave.
Yeah, am I in trouble?
No, man. I mean, you look good. Those shades are perfect for the summer vibe. Where'd you get them?
Well, which one? Because I've got these four. I wear it the same
time. Yeah, I like how you're wearing. I'm talking about all four of them.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got them all from Knockaround.
Knockaround?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So you're telling me that they've got sunglasses that keep the summer spirit alive even after the 4th of July?
Quit joking, John. Quit joking. Of course they do. Knockaround is a secret to keeping your summer vibes going strong like a never-ending vacation for your eyes. Which is me every time I see you in the front yard.
Oh, that's sweet. And that's fantastic. I'm all about embracing the summer vibes. You know that,
yeah,
about me.
Yeah,
I've been like, yeah, that since day one.
Yep.
Do they offer different designs or a variety of styles, or is it just the one?
You are just full of jokes today. John, they've got options for days.
Yes.
Knockaround has more sunglasses styled than their excuses for not wearing sunscreen. See what I did there? Okay, because the kids are listening. Classic, trendy, colorful, you name it. They've got it all.
That's exactly what I need, Dave. But are their sunglasses like just for looks, or do they actually provide like practical benefits too?
You should be a stand-up comedian for how funny this stuff is. Practical and fashionable, John. Knockaround sunglasses come with UV protection so your eyes can soak up the sun without feeling like you've been staring into a spotlight, which is the first time I saw my wife, that's exactly what I felt like. Plus, they're built to withstand anything summer throws your way, sand, waves, and even that one rogue water balloon. Watch out.
Perfect. Okay, I can enjoy the sunny days without compromising on style and eye protection. I'm in. Okay, yeah. Now tell me, is there anything special going around, like at knockaround.com, like for the post-4th of July season?
Here we go again, John. You bet. Knockaround always has exciting promotions, even when the fireworks have fizzled out, but not in your mirrors. That's not what that means right there. That's just when literally the fireworks fizzled out. And guess what? We've got an exclusive promo code for our fellow dads. Use Dadville15 to enjoy a discount that'll have you doing the summer happy dance all summer long, even when the summer's over.
Okay, Dadville15 it is. I love a good discount that makes me make the most of the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like Knockaround has got it all covered.
That is the spirit, John. With knockaround.com and our promo code, we can keep rocking the trendiest shades and soak up those summer vibes.
Absolutely. All right, let's make this summer one to remember, people, all while looking cool.
Yeah, so folks, if you want shades that keep your summer style on point, head over to knockaround.com and remember to use our promo code Dadville15 for an exclusive discount.
That's right. Knockaround.com, where style meets the summer spirit. Get your perfect pair and keep those summer vibes alive.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you could stretch that far. That's amazing.
I can't. That's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Speaking of your friends, do you ever bring your kids to the grocery store?
Oh, Dave, that's like the rookiest of rookie mistakes. Oh. No. In fact, you shouldn't even bring yourself to the grocery store.
Whoa.
It's Thrive Market all the way, Dave.
That was a trick question, and that is also the right answer, John. Thrive Market is our go-to for all our grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of ordering everything on their website or app and getting everything delivered to your doorstep quickly is a huge stress reliever.
Huge stress reliever. And the products are amazing. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting high-quality products so that you can shop worry-free.
Yes.
I don't like to shop worried. You know what I mean?
Worry shopping is the worst.
You just place an order for some gluten-free items, like using the gluten-free filter.
Ooh.
Boom. It just gives you all the gluten-free stuff.
Wow.
I got FitJoy grain-free pretzels.
Yeah.
PIP corn white cheddar cheese balls.
Guys, for those of us in the loop, it's called pip corn.
No, I call it PIP. It's, a Midwestern regional thing.
Totally.
And I got some Lotus ramen noodles.
You are off. You're just off.
I'm off to the races,
you are
Dave.
Crazy, John. Not only do I save time shopping as a Thrive Market member, I also save money on every single grocery order, over 30% each time on average.
That's crazy.
They even have a price match guarantee and a deals page that changes weekly.
That's right, Dave. In fact, on my last order, not to be competitive about it, but my last order of gluten-free items, the cost was $46. I saved $11.
I saved 10 last time. Plus, when you join Thrive Market, and you can enjoy it and join it, John. I was trying to make both those
words
work.
It's not an either or.
Guys, it's choose your own adventure, okay? And when you join and enjoy Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/dadville for 30% off your first order, plus free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/dadville. thrivemarket.com/dadville. And join today. John,
I don't know why we're laughing.
Just wait. Did you hear about the hamburger that went to jail?
I feel like I know where this
is going. Yeah, he was guilty as charged.
Oh, that's an all-timer.
Jeez Louise.
And especially fitting, considering we're about to talk about Butcher Box.
Oh, we always are.
I mean,
John,
we're always talking about Butcher Box.
The double B. Yep. It's the height of grilling season.
Yep.
And Butcher Box provides the high-quality meat and seafood you can trust.
Okay. Like I said, we're always talking about Butcher Box. Okay. But can I say some of my favorite things that
I'm
like to say?
Please do
about
it.
Butcher Box?
Yes.
100% grass-fed beef. right?
Yep.
Let me say a couple other things. Free range organic chicken, right?
Okay.
Crate free and wild caught seafood.
No, is it delivered to your doorstep?
It's delivered right to your
doorstep. Is it free shipping always?
Free shipping always.
Do they have exclusive member deals?
Yes, they do.
And is there plenty of recipe inspiration?
You're batting 1,000, Dave.
That is incredible. But get this. Okay. ButcherBox is giving us a special deal, John.
Ooh, tell me more. All right, it's not the thing where you need the fork over your social security number, is it?
No, I mean,
I would do it.
Give
for
that
ButcherBox
to me just so I can have it. But no, it's not okay. That. Just sign up today at butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code Dadville to get New York strips for a year plus $20 off your first order.
New York strips for a year?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes. That's butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code Dadville to claim this deal.
ButcherBox, you've done it again.
As John was saying, and you were talking about with these younger guys that come in, do you find a natural inclination to kind of want to help that with that kind of stuff? Like, is there, do you feel like that's, I'm sure it's different with every case, but do you feel like there's a majority or a minority of guys that are coming in that are kind of going like, hey man, I'd love to get my sea legs a little bit. And, you know, cause to me, NFL is dog years, right? It's like you're in there three years.
Well,
it's like you're in for 30 years, you know? And so especially someone that's been there as long as you have a lot of wisdom in that space. Yeah. And I could imagine that'd be really helpful.
Yeah. It is sort of when asked, I would love to share the information, but I don't tend to go knock on guys' lockers and say, hey, let me tell you how you should run your life. You know, you should do this with your finances and this with your giving and this with your family. And so you sort of say, you try to make yourself available, be approachable,
right,
so that people would never be intimidated to come ask, but then you kind of put the ball in their court to make yourself available. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. And yes, it is a blessing when a guy asks to be able to share. I remember last year in the locker room having a conversation about our foundation and some of the things we do. And, you know, guys were asking, like, why do you give that percentage and what are you doing there and why?
Wow.
And so to be able to kind of then share about your generosity strategy and then to kind of say the why behind it and where you're coming from, it was kind of a fun conversation. And those can always happen just kind of organically throughout the day in the locker room.
God, that's so cool.
Okay, I've got a question that I wanted to ask you, and this will probably make you feel a little uncomfortable, which is why I'm excited about it. One of my memories of high school, right, is going to see the movie Varsity Blues.
This could go
which dates myself at this point, but you know, whatever that what was it, Friday Night Lights or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always there's like the stereotypical caricature, right, of like the captain of the football team. And like when I went and saw Varsity Blues, Paul Walker, you know, this gorgeous guy, blue eyes up there, captain of the football team. That's like a shorthand for something. And everyone had, you know, I was never that guy. And so I know my reaction to that character in a TV show or a movie or whatever. And I know my relation to it, all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from my perspective here, that's you, right? You are the captain of the football team.
I lived it.
You are that guy. What is your relationship with that character when you see it in movies and TV shows and stuff like that?
Clearly, you guys have done a podcast for a while. You're pretty good at this. But many of these questions I've never been asked. I've been asked a lot in my day, but some of these are new. I'll answer that question by saying my mom and dad made me very aware when I was about late middle school, they could kind of see you're the quarterback of the football team. You're the point guard of the basketball team. You're the shortstop on the baseball team. You do well in school. Mm. Girls sort of have a crush on you, and they kind of let me know early, like, this can go two ways. One, you could start to think you're really cool, and pride comes before the fall, and it can go south real fast, and they gave me a lot of examples of that happening. Or they said, you know what, you have a chance to lead and to serve and to go to the special needs kids and hang out with them and show everybody in the school how cool they are and try to befriend the kids who play piano all day and write music, and you could kind of show people how cool they are and how creative they are.
Oh, Kirk, I needed you at my school. I needed you at 10th Street Elementary.
Honestly, I can't take any credit for that. My parents kind of cast a vision for that when I was late in middle school, saying like, everybody in that school is cool, and it's your job to make everybody realize that.
Wow.
And so I tried to do that and tried to, you know, understand and kind of see it from everybody's perspective. And to this day, kind of still trying to do that in the locker room to understand each guy has a different background and what can they bring to the table.
Hmm.
That is correct. That's such a great outlook on it.
No joke.
I'm picking a couple of my other like dumb football questions here. But okay, so Dave and I are musicians, obviously. We play in bands and stuff like that. And from my experience,
all musicians, they say, want to be athletes. I can promise you all athletes want to be musicians.
Right.
Every offseason, I have a high school, close high school friend, was a receiver on our football team who lives full time in Nashville, went to Belmont, got into the music school at Belmont, but chose to do the business school, got an audio engineering degree, and now produces music, mostly in the CCM space, but does produce music. So every offseason, I go to Nashville, I give him a list of songs, and we get the karaoke track, and he records me singing
it. I love this.
And then a few times he's gotten, because I said, you know, it's cool to sing the track and we can get a lot more done, but I would love to really feel like a musician and get the live, you know, instruments here playing. So
yeah.
We went to a couple different studios, one south of the city and one north of the city, a couple different years, and just recorded these songs with the piano and drums and guitar and everything live. And then he you know, mixed it all together, and it was incredible what he was able to do with it. And it's so fun. So sometimes I'll be on my Apple Music and it's, you know, I'm listening to Dave Barnes, I'm listening to John McLaughlin, and I'm listening to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, you are.
Dave
yes,
Barnes
listen,
yeah.
The people are asking for that tour, Kirk. They are beating down the door. Well, it's funny because John and I in the off season, we'll get some NFL players. We have a field that we go to that's just down the block, and we'll just run routes, you know, just
we'll
to
get
keep
our stopwatches out.
So, and I will, that I can do a hook. It's amazing. I can't go left. But
do you wear receiver gloves?
We do.
Or are you just
rarely on our
bare
hands. But yeah,
when
we
we're
do.
Sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
We take them off when we wake up.
John actually only plays piano.
Piano with receiver gloves.
That'd
that would
be amazing.
Cool.
I feel like it's the same kind of thing where, like you're saying, athletes want to be musicians, musicians want to be athletes, all that kind of stuff. It's like piano players want to be drummers, drummers want to be lead singers.
Yep.
What, you know. Nobody wants to play the bass. But
I think, I feel like personally, is my opinion, piano's at the top of the mountain.
Look at that.
Thank
Look
you.
I think piano's at the top of the mountain. I think guitar is the low end. Yeah,
right?
It's kind of the easy entry.
John is a huge Vikings fan. John has just left all of his Colts allegiance.
All of my Colts stuff just turned to Viking stuff. Miraculously.
I mean, but let's be honest, like you don't dream that you play the French horn. You dream that you can
Listen,
play the piano, you know?
Some kid somewhere
yeah,
has.
True.
Some kid somewhere.
True. But I'm curious, is there overlap with football? Is it like the quarterback, you got so much on your shoulders, are you like, man, if I could be like a, you know, a corner, or if I could be the, you know,
yeah,
on special teams or something like that?
That's a funny question. I think quarterback is kind of like the piano player, if you're catching my drift. Mm.
I've said that so many times.
But there are moments,
and no one else has ever said that.
There are moments where I'm studying for the game, and we're about to run out on the field for the game, and I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I'm thinking, man, I wouldn't mind being like the third corner right now.
Yes,
and just not having to carry the weight of the world here. So, but then at training camp practice, when that third corner is running up and down the field covering our receivers, I don't really want to be him right now in 90-degree heat. I remember being at a Chicago Cubs baseball game a few years ago. I grew up a Cubs fan, and we're sitting there at Wrigley and watching the game, and I looked at my dad, and I said, what do you think, like shortstop for the Cubs or the Yankees, is that technically cooler than being an NFL quarterback? And my dad's like, I don't know, man. I think NFL quarterback's about as good as it gets.
Yeah,
so I was like,
no doubt.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No
I don't
doubt.
Know.
I mean, zero doubt about that. I agree. I really do think that, like, the quarterback for an NFL team is kind of like your top of the mountain. I mean, there's just not many things that you're going to do athletically where you're so – you are the grand poobah. It is like everything.
Yeah, you're running the whole thing.
You take the good with the bad on that sometimes. It goes both ways.
Okay, side note real quick. Do you have the same fascination with kickers that I have? I am – so fascinated by kickers because
this is my favorite question you've ever asked on Dadville. Keep going.
It's such a unique position in all of sports, I think, because you got a kicker, right? What does the kicker need to know? Basically nothing. They could not even know what team they're playing for. They could know no one on the team, nothing. All they have to do is kick this ball through those uprights. That's all they have to do. But it's like, when it comes down to those moments, an entire like season, a franchise is on the line.
Yeah, if you watch the playoffs, teams that have great kickers win, and teams that have average kickers lose. Yeah. So like in the biggest moments, the playoff Super Bowl, it shows up even more. And I agree with you 100%. It's, you know, in college, I think our kickers and punters always wanted to be part of the team and lift weights and make sure they're one of the guys. And at some point you're like, look, man, like, nah, you aren't. But like, if you make kicks and hit bombs on your punts, like, that's all we need.
Yeah, we
so don't feel any more pressure than make your kicks and hit bombs.
So fascinating. I wonder if there is some like through line with kickers, like really good kickers.
Yeah.
Who have that ability to have like ice in their veins and just do their thing in the face of the most pressure. Arguably the only position that would be under more pressure than the quarterback in those moments is the kicker, right?
Totally. My dad will joke that the worst job on game day in a Sunday NFL stadium is to be the mom of the quarterback.
Oh God.
And then he'll say, maybe the mom of the kicker would be worse.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because you don't get another chance. There's no other it's like,
no, exactly.
That's your moment.
It's such a small window. But I have a theory. I don't know that it's really true. It's just a theory that the less self aware the kicker, the better the kicker.
Oh, I love
it. So if you're just so like oblivious to social norms and just general norms of how to behave and act and relate to people, the better you'll be as a kicker.
I think if I were going to be a kicker, first off, I would need to have some talent in that category, but then I would need to be kept in like an airtight vault.
Yeah.
Throughout the game. And you let me out when I need to kick the ball. I'm not going to look at the score. I'm not going to look at anything.
Like
I'm not even going to look at my jersey. I'm just going to kick this thing through
the
oven.
You want the guy when he runs on, you have to point which way to go. Like, that's the guy you want. You're like, no, we're on this side. It's like, great.
Totally.
All right, just
numb to everything.
Am I kicking this way? Yeah, just kick it that way. He's like, great. That sounds awesome for me. I'd love to do that. So one thing I'm curious about to finish the NFL questioning here, the barrage, what is the thing that if you're like, man, I wish people knew this about this sport? Because I think they would understand me and everybody better. Like, what is that thing? Or what are those things?
First of all, understanding that the margin for error is so small.
Wow.
And when we lose, I'll say it was one play or two plays. And when we win and everyone's telling you how great you are, it's like we were one play away from not winning, and I'm not that great. And so just sort of the extremes of winning and losing from people who follow the team, because it's either a one in the loss column or a one in the win column. To me, it's more of a gray area of, well, yes, we won the game and that's obviously what it matters, but the process to get there is more what I focus on. Wow. And obviously the fan doesn't. But then I do think that, and I had this as a football fan too, that I thought if you made the NFL financially, you made it.
Yeah.
And you're set.
Yeah.
And that is just a massive misunderstanding. Yeah. As I said to my roommate my rookie year when we were kind of both in that spot as a rookie, just going day to day, I said, to get drafted and play in the NFL as a rookie, it's a nice head start in life. But I said, it's nowhere near what I thought it was growing up as making the NFL. So I do think that even families don't understand that. And that's what can oftentimes lead to a lot of the financial struggles of pro athletes, is that there's this narrative about what they can do or are able to do financially for their families and friends and the lifestyle they should live. When really it's like, you made the NFL, congratulations, but you're still nowhere close to that small, small, small window of people who can actually do what the TV and movies make it look like you can do. And I think there's a major disconnect there.
Dave.
Yeah, Johnny.
That's the best response you've ever had.
Oh, thanks.
Look, I don't want to jinx it.
Okay.
But I can't tell you how great this episode is going. I just feel like it's really going well.
I don't know. I feel like I could have been much stronger with that seventh question. But I feel like I can do much better after the break. I'm going to come back strong.
Well, that's a great attitude to have. Okay. And while we're taking a break, let's talk about Hiya Health.
Let's do it, John.
Yes.
Hiya Health is an incredible way to get your kids the vitamins and nutrients they need. Guess what it doesn't have? A bunch of extra sugar.
I hate it.
Which is what I was trying to get at the middle school dance.
Come
on! You know what I'm talking about, Johnny.
I mean, that's why Hiya was created,
that's
you know?
Right.
It's the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin.
And can I tell you what's happening out there in the other, in the rest of the world? While most children's vitamins, good gracious, are filled with 5 grams of sugar, your dentist is smiling. His little face away right now. It can contribute to a variety of health issues. Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, yet it tastes great, and it's perfect for picky eaters.
That's right. Well, they're filling in the most common gaps in modern children's diets, right? To provide the full body nourishment that our kids need with a yummy taste that they love.
I know. Yep. And, Johnny, finally, because we're kind of, I feel like it's competition for their best traits. It's non-GMO,
yep.
Vegan,
yep.
Dairy-free,
yep.
Allergy-free,
yep.
Gelatin-free,
yep.
Nut-free,
yep.
And everything else you can imagine.
I don't even know what else I can imagine because they've covered everything.
Yep.
And also, we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin.
Receive 50% off your first order, and to claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/Dadvil. This deal is not available on their regular website.
Go to HiyaHealth.com/Dadvil and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
That's HiyaHealth.com/Dadvil for 50% off your first order. John, can I almost quote Marvin Gaye?
Please.
We're all busy people, okay?
Yep.
We're dads, husbands, musicians, songwriters, influencers, podcast moguls, coffee, latte
aficionados.
Artists. Okay.
Yep.
How do you snack on the run? How do you do it? Tell me.
Well, look, I consider myself a true snack.
Okay. Stop
but
it.
Usually I hit nuts.com for my snacking
okay,
needs.
Okay, exactly. Whether you're someone on the go who needs a quick snack to grab on the way out or someone who spends time at home and needs a stock snack drawer, nuts.com has you covered. Tell them how.
Listen, nuts.com is your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruit, sweets, pantry staples like specialty flours, and more. Their
John,
wide selection. I'm not done, Dave.
Okay.
Their wide selection means that there's something for everyone.
I'm so excited. Can I say something now?
Please.
Okay. I was working on this new record, which you know is coming out in October.
That's right.
Excited about that.
It sounds amazing.
True story. I was in the middle of a vocal and I was snacky.
Yep.
I was, you know, sometimes singing gets you snacky.
Yeah. Oh,
I reached over, got some of those pecans, John.
Mm.
Holy guacamole.
Don't get me started.
Holy guacamole, Batman. Yep. Were they good? And just hit the old snacking target right in the center.
That's
so much better.
And you can snack with satisfaction knowing that quality is the top priority at nuts.com. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, Dave. And you're like, how can they do that? I don't know, but they figure it out. So they reach you deliciously fresh since 1929.
That's right.
They've been doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
One taste, and you'll know the difference.
Listen, John, I forgot about the popcorn. I'm just going to be honest with you. I forgot about the popcorn. That's how could I sleep on the popcorn? Right now, Nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at Nuts.com/Dadvil.
That's nuts. Laughter, laughter, laughter. So go check out all the delicious options at nuts.com/Dadvil. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more.
That's nuts.com/Dadvil.
I remember seeing that 30 for 30. Broke? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I mean, that was shocking to me. Which that probably came out, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. You feel
and
like
you talked about how the career is dog years, like 3 years is an average career. And if you play six,
that's amazing.
An incredibly long pro career. And six years isn't going to get you set for life, especially if you're buying stuff for family and friends.
Right,
and so
right.
And I think I just think that, again, culture and the messaging is that is good enough.
Yeah.
And it just really, really isn't. And it kind of sets a lot of guys up to fail.
One of the things I've talked about this before on the podcast, but like. In a weird way, it's actually somewhat analogous to what we do. Like, you know, you really are, me and John, I think, are kind of unicorns a little bit, because this career really, you know, music is not set up to really go longer than about 6 to 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, most people don't do it near that long. And so I have such a huge heart for and empathy for when I see athletes that struggle in that same way, the way I do for my artist friends, because you kind of think, this is what I'm going to do, man. I love this. I love writing songs. Yep. I love singing. And then, you know, you get to year 6, 7, one, you don't want to do it anymore, or you realize you can't sell tickets anymore, whatever. And it's so heartbreaking to watch as, you know, friends, guys, girls go, this is kind of all I plan for, man. Like, how do I pivot now? What makes me the most saddest is then what I see which is that struggle of like, oh, I failed. Like I wasn't able, and the analogy sort of breaks down there just because, you know, with athletes, it is a physical thing and that's, you can't play longer than X amount. Like the mutants out there play.
There's a true end game.
There's a real end game. I've done some studying around the NFLPA because I've having some guests on that are players and they're saying how much better a job they're doing now than they used to, where they're really trying to prep guys that come in and go, hey, you need to really listen to us. Like, you may have 2 years in this thing. So, like, you know, let's get you hooked up with financial advisors. Let's get people around you that can really support not just with money, but also criticism and these things. That's one of the things that's so hard in our world is there's not really a place for that. You know, there's not when you come in and you start playing music, because both of them are, you know, new is novelty is king in both of these things. You know, the newer you are as an NFL player, you know, the more fresh you are, the stronger you are, the healthier you are. A lot of times, the same with music. Like your first record's always the one everybody freaks out about, not your sixth. And so,
that ability to have staying power and win the long game has got to be just as hard as a musician as is as an athlete. And not everybody can be Smokey Robinson and write "My Girl" 50 years ago and still have it get placement.
That's right.
And I would think similar to us that a musician who makes it, signs with a label, goes on tour, maybe headlines the tour, fills a venue night after night after night. I made it. And then you probably get the end of the tour and see the financials and you're like,
oh yeah,
I mean, that's not going to last forever. Yeah. Like I've got to do this again and again and again. Yeah. And I think that's the thing as a professional athlete is you're like, I made it. I made an NFL team and I'm getting paid to play football and that's great. But you look at the financials and it's like, this isn't quite going to go as far as I would let me believe.
It's unbelievable how much that's true. And you know, you read where like U2 did this with, was it Europa Mart? One of their Pop Mart, whatever it's called. Like they broke even. You know, and you're like, they were playing sold out stadiums every night. And yet, you know, at the end of they're like, well, high five, guys. That was a good run. Like, you know, see ya. And you're like, why would in the world would you do that? Let's talk a little bit about your fam here. So one thing we were talking about, John and I were talking about that I'm so interested in is when you come home. So let's say you won or you lost. You're driving home, park the car, you come inside. Is there any kind of pattern with you and your wife where she kind of knows, like, Kirk's going to need 30 either way, or like, man, on a loss, he needs 2 hours, on a win, he's ready to rock. We high five, we eat dinner, whatever that is. Like, do you guys have groups of that stuff?
I think there is something to that. I think Julie even doesn't tell me. She's just knows it. So it's more, she tells other people like, hey, you know, we lost, Kirk's going to need this. You got to do this.
Wow.
But like she's never articulated that to me. She just knows to do that because she's self-aware. But I will say that I was blown away with my wife about she doesn't ride the roller coaster naturally. Mm. So when we lose in the stadium, if I throw 5 interceptions, people all around her are booing me. Mm. I would have thought my wife will be in tears and just crumpled on the floor and just say, I never want to go back to a game. She's very like shrugs her shoulders and says, like, we'll get him next week.
No way.
And maybe that's God's grace to me that he paired me with somebody who has that perspective, because you'll meet some player spouses who, like, they will fight you if you say a crossword about their husband. They will fight you to the death. My wife's in my corner, but she doesn't ride the roller coasters. So if we were to go 0-17, and the season were to end, she would say, "All right, where are we going next year?" She'd be up for that adventure. She interprets it as adventure. And I think that's really a unique perspective to have. It's certainly not my perspective. I internalize everything and wear it pretty hard. She has an ability to just stay the course and enjoy it. And we'll be sitting there on a boat in June or July, just enjoying the summer. And she'll say, I can't wait for a training camp. I can't wait for the season or the preseason games. I'm so excited for football. And I'm like, whoa, Julie, slow down. Like, I'm enjoying this boat ride, trying not to think about two-a-days and football yet.
So you have two boys. Yeah.
Two boys, Cooper and Turner.
Cooper
that's right.
and Turner. I think those are two of the coolest names.
They're going to be quarterbacks.
You.
I'm so sorry to tell you that, but they're going to be quarterbacks.
And how old are they?
So Cooper's 5 and a half. He'll be in kindergarten soon. And then Turner has one more year of preschool. They'll only be 1 year apart in school.
Oh,
they're
wow.
17 months apart. And they don't get along too well right now. I'm waiting for an auto manufacturer to build a divider between the two car seats.
That's our shark
there's
tank
no
idea.
Window.
That's
it's,
a shark
it's soundproof.
Tank idea.
You just press a button, and instead of the windows going up, the divider between the two seats goes up so they can't
Why
drive each other
Why doesn't that exist? That's got to exist
Shark
somewhere.
Tank.
There it is. And we're a part, just so you know, Kirk, we are a part of that because you said it to us. So whether you like it or
there
not,
you go.
We
it's
are.
Out there.
15%.
It's out there.
We're not greedy.
And he means you get 15%. Do you see, like, I'm always fascinated by this. Have you seen yet where Cooper has put, and he's really young, so I would imagine not, but where he's starting to put two together on, like, wait, that's dad right there. Or like, on the field, or, like, you know, has that started to happen yet?
Just barely this past season. My younger son, Turner, we lost our playoff game on the last drive of the game, and I come home, and he stayed at home, and I said, did Daddy win or lose? And he said, we won? Like, he wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah.
So he's too young. My older one was just starting to get it this year, still not quite. My dream was to be able to play football long enough that my boys would remember it and be able to be a part of it.
Yes.
And I still have a little bit more to go, but that's one of the big motivators for me to keep playing and to stack up the years is that my boys can really end up being a part of it and making memories. And that's pretty special when you can, you know, bring him on the field after a win or bring him into the locker room or after practice, play catch with him. That's been really fun.
Is that I don't know what the right word is, soothing or whatever, but like when you're describing you come home and you guys have lost and Turner is like, I have no idea.
Yeah,
that's
got to
be that when you feel like the entire world just watched that game and we lost, and then you come home and your son is completely oblivious. Sometimes I would imagine that would kind of reset the reality of things.
I think it does give you perspective, certainly. And you just said, you know, how it can make a difference. I think it's also interesting that at preschool this year here in Minnesota, there's a lot of Packers fans because Wisconsin and Green Bay is the border state. So you get a lot of Vikings and Packers fans all around the Twin Cities and around Wisconsin. And so at school, there were a lot of kids in the preschool saying to Cooper, you know, oh, we're Packer fans and we don't root for your dad and different things like that. And so and Julie looked at me and she said, here we go. It's starting.
It's already going.
We're at
it's already
happening. And then Cooper started to realize that if we won the game and he went to school on Monday, the teachers and the parents, the other kids were, you know, bringing it up and it was becoming a big deal. And
his
Cooper
grades are a little better.
Well, he started to realize that he had like this ace card in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
My dad does something that people seem to think is a little unique and pretty cool. And we had to kind of start that conversation of like, Cooper, just because people talk about dad's job doesn't mean that you're cool. It doesn't mean that you're better. It doesn't. So you're kind of having these, and like Julie's like, here we go. I'm like, yeah, this is only the beginning. But my parents did the same thing with me as a young kid. You know, whenever you had success, they'd kind of give you the right perspective and we'll be passing that on to our kids.
But you know, it's so funny. Again, this is where music is sort of like that in that, you know, so it tends to be, I feel like in Nashville people, and I mean, you know, my mom and dad had me, I'm the oldest, when they were 26, so they were younger. But you know, like in our world, and I don't know if it's just the sign of the times or whatever, but people tend to have kids later. And so it's kind of a bummer and because you will have played a venue you always wanted to play, but it was before your kid was born or you did a tour, you know? And so it becomes that I share that feeling so much. John and I have talked about this. Like there's nothing more fun than when your kid can kind of get a context for what you do and see like, wow, like people are clapping for dad or whatever, you know, that man threw his underwear at dad. Like, you know, that, but to your point again, because of, especially the NFL, that's really your 20s. And if you're really fortunate, like early 30s. And I've also talked to athletes that said like, we kind of don't have time for kids right now. We've decided to have them later, but it's, they miss that window to your point where they can sit it and really cognitively take in what's going on, like which Cooper will be able to do, which is so fun, but like where they can say no, I remember that game, or I remember sitting in that stadium or going in that locker room. It's a weird job because you know, it's not something where you're hitting your heights in that profession at 40, 45, 50, and your kids come and they go like, dad, like this is cool, man, you know. It's like you're going, no, remember how that, and they're like, sort of, you know. And so you have to almost like, I would be the guy that would like, you know, it'd be like a rite of passage when they're like 18 and be like, sit down, son, you're gonna watch your dad's highlight. You know, and it's this is what I could do, and wasn't I great? You know,
this is who I used to be. Going back to the beginning of the conversation, saying this is about identity, you know.
Yes.
You know, you talk about old movies too, Friday Night Lights, when Tim McGraw, you know, wants to see his son succeed, and he makes the comment that, hey, man, once high school football's over, it's just babies and memories.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's crazy, too, because, you know, you will navigate a life where you've had probably numerous jobs. You know what I mean? Like you've had this job, and then sure afterwards you'll have something you're passionate about that you want to give your time to. And that's such a weird, I mean, a lot of people have numerous jobs, but not like that, where it's like you were doing this thing in front of so many people and you know, on such a big stage, to then go on to do something that will be much more succinct. And, you know, that's so interesting. And I think for a kid, it's got to be interesting here in 10 years when you know, you're sitting down talking to them about that. And they're like,
right,
I remember that, but what I really remember is this part of you. And I think as a dad, that'd be hard because, you know, again, you don't want to get lost. You know, it's not about that.
Sure.
You said that at the beginning of the podcast. Sure. But, you know, it's a big part of your story. It's something you're really proud of. And so that'd be a hard disconnect. It'd be like, you know, me sitting down with the kids. No, I promise. I played this show with, it was awesome. No, I promise. I promise. He came out and he played the song, you know, and you're really trying to sort of, you know, do that. It'd be tricky.
Your kids probably remind you too, though, just like mine will, that because they see dad as so much more than a musician and my kids see me as so much more than a quarterback. They do a good job of having a perspective of what you do is not who you are.
That's great.
You
know, that's great.
He's our dad. He's our dad. But, yes, he's a musician. Yes, he does that. But that's a percentage of his life. Yeah. That's not who he is.
Yeah.
And I think our kids can see us as so much more, sometimes better than we can see ourselves.
Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that.
So, I mean, this is a really broad question, but I'm curious, becoming a dad, was it what you expected? Was it, in what ways, you know, was it surprising? Is it, you know, what ways is it challenging that you didn't expect?
Yeah. It's more challenging than I expected. It's more involved than I expected. It's all consuming. And, you know, everybody's situation is different. You know, kids' ages, genders, different things are going to affect their experience raising the kids. But for us, having two boys who are both high energy, both leaders, you know, in close in age, there's just a lot more energy, up early, ready to go. They're going to be bickering a little bit more often than maybe the average siblings will, although I think all siblings are going to bicker. Yes, it's all consuming. And I think my wife and I both kind of look at each other at times like, this is a lot. This is a lot. And the job falls far more on her than on me when I'm in the middle of the football season. But it's hard to ever know what you're signing up for, but we're in the middle of it now, and there's no turning back.
So when you're off like that, I hadn't really thought about this. Like when you're off season, are you still busy because you're having to train and keep up with those things? Or do you have, you know, a time of the year where you can really sort of like just be there doing that?
Yes, I think both. I think the off season is certainly more dad time. I'm biking to preschool with the boys and dropping them off. And I'm able, you know, I'm one of the few parents who can go pick them up at noon.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't have work all day, so I can be there. But there are moments where I'll remind my wife, because I'm picking up and dropping off and playing with them in the driveway and putting them down for their nap, and I'll say, you know, Julie, like if I had a normal 9 to 5, you wouldn't see me for 8 hours.
Yeah,
and so she certainly carries a lot of the responsibility during the football season and out of season. But I'm able to be a little bit more present than the average dad in the off season, which is a major blessing. Yeah. And I do think that retirement from football will time up well as a huge blessing, that right as they're, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I'll be walking away from football and have this time to go coach their teams and be present and be involved and organize things for their friends to do together. And I think that will be a really cool blessing to have, because not many dads in their early 40s could give that kind of time, you know, and be that intentional with their kids.
Yeah, that's great. We have so enjoyed our time together. I want to, before we ask these last two questions, I just want to apologize to the kickers out there one more time, because there's no, we didn't mean any ill intent in that. We love kickers. In fact, David Akers here now.
We need kickers.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Thank you. Would you just make that a shirt, Kirk? It just says we need
kickers. Calling all kickers.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Okay, so last two questions for you. What is the one thing you want your kids to know?
Well, more than anything, I want my kids to know and understand deep down in their heart the gospel and salvation, and to have their life built on the rock and the truth of God's word, and everything else is secondary to that. And then obviously that they're loved by God, but also by their parents. We'll try to impart that truth to them on an almost daily basis for the rest of their life.
That's great.
All right. Last question. What do you want your kids to say at your funeral?
Mm. Love that question. I want them to ultimately be able to say that Dad didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk.
Wow.
And he lived it, and not just in an area, but in all the areas of life that mattered. I love the quote by D.L. Moody that says, we shouldn't be afraid of failure. We should be afraid of succeeding at something that when we get to the end of our life, didn't really matter.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
And so I want my boys to look and say, Dad had the priorities right, such that what he chased after, what he pursued, what he made his life's work really mattered. And I think that's, there's a temptation, you know, in life on a daily basis to pursue some things that ultimately at your funeral won't matter. And so I want my boys to be able to say that he went after the things that did matter.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Awesome.
And then if we're wrapping up, I got to say to you guys, music has a powerful tie to memory. And the songs that you guys have written and sung and recorded, when I hear them, I mean, it takes me back to driving in a Jeep in the summer in high school, or, you know, going out to a movie with my friends that, you know, your songs were in, or college moments, you know, early in my pro career, riding on airplanes, you know, listening to your stuff. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. So you guys, along with a few other artists, I would consider to be sort of the soundtrack to my life.
Wow.
And it's hard probably for you to understand just how much that means to somebody who, you know, doesn't know you guys personally, but listens to your music. And as a result, it's been tied to memories of my life. Yeah. And that's powerful. And so it's just the way God made us. The music has a huge tie to memory. And so thanks for what you guys have done with your gifts and talents, and keep putting great music out.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you. That's a great. Thank you, man. Cheering for that. We're
that's
fully
so great.
Vikings fans. That's so kind, dude.
Just one of my tattoos turned to a Viking ship.
well,
no,
have a great
really
season,
kind,
man. Thanks so
Thank
much
you.
For your time, Meet the World.